really open. Awesome. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
How's everybody doing?
All right.
Okay. Sometimes. Awesome. It's been so long. That is my fault. I do apologise. But I do love coming here. You guys are amazing. You're so encouraging. So thank you so, so much. As you can see, I have the very challenging topic, but important topic, of the righteousness we cannot fake. The righteousness we cannot fake. But before we do that, there are some new faces in the room. Hi, I'm Abby. and I just want to tell you a couple of things about me. For you people who know me, this will not come to a shock at all. And for those who don't, come and chat to me at Tea and Coffee, and I would love to chat to you more. So some of the things that I love going to the gym. The gym is great, you can shake your head. I love spending time with friends. And I love drinking coffee. And if I can do, well, no, I know, I might slightly be addicted. If I can do all three, I am a very happy woman, indeed. Something else that I love, however, is Lego. Is there anybody else in this room who loves Lego? My, yes, there's one at the back, brilliant. You are my people. If you don't like Lego, come on, no. If you don't like Lego, you are probably aware of how expensive it is, because you're buying it for those who do like Lego. and this is the thing. People obviously realised that Lego was good, and that people did spend money on Lego. But here's a question for all you Lego lovers out there. What is the difference between fake Lego and real Lego? Does anyone know?
Yep.
Well, you've seen it. Does anyone know? Maybe this will give you a clue. What's the difference between fake and real? It's very, very slight. You can see it.
The logo?
The logo, exactly. There is a little logo just there. Fake Lego does not have the logo. But also, anything else? I've already mentioned one big difference.
Price.
The price is cheaper. And another difference that I've noticed, and you guys may agree with me or may not, are the instructions. The instructions to fake Lego make no sense whatsoever. The instructions to real Lego, it's all planned out really nicely. It's numbered. You don't have to open all the packets to try and get from stage one to stage three. It's all there for you. It's great. So why would you go fake? Answer, it's easier, it's cheaper, and it seems like it makes sense at the time. Now, this isn't an illustration. This isn't me just having a rant about Lego, I promise, okay? But I wanted to show us that this is the same thing as our relationship with Jesus. Why would we go to anything else? Why would we go to anything that's fake? Well, it's easier, it's cheaper, and again, it makes sense at the time. This isn't just whether you believe that Jesus is our Lord and Saviour or not, but it's all about living our lives not in a fake righteousness, instead living a righteous life that Jesus requires. So we're going to look at three questions. They are challenging, so please hang in there with me, but I also hope that it will build us up as well. So the first question, there we go. The first question is, are we seeing Jesus clearly? Are we seeing Jesus clearly? Now, I need a volunteer. Would anyone like to come up and be my volunteer? Honestly, not that scary.
Oh.
Yes! Thank you. See, you guys are going to be so upset that you didn't come up. Just as an FYI. Bear with. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Appreciate it. It's like. Right. So. What do I have here?
A bar of Cadbury's milk chocolate.
A bar of Cadbury's milk chocolate. Can you put your hands out for me? Okay. Does it feel like chocolate?
No.
No. Can you open it for me? If I glued it a little bit too tight. What's in there?
A piece of cardboard.
A piece of cardboard. How do you feel now?
Let down.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Do you want to...
A waste of money.
Well, yeah, could you imagine buying that? That'd be really upsetting. Do you want to remove the cardboard for me and see what else is inside? Ignore the cardboard. See what else is in the packet. What is it? Open it up and tell everybody what it is.
It's a Costa coffee.
It's a Costa coffee voucher.
Yes.
So that is yours. Go take it. There is £10 on there. Remember, I like coffee as well.
Okay, then.
All right. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm quite happy.
Quite happy.
Yeah.
This is why you volunteer when I ask for volunteers. Just so I know why. Thank you so much for going to Glendale. Thank you. So I want you to hold on to that emotional roller coaster. There was a reason I got you to do that as well. But let's turn to scripture. Let's have a look at Matthew 5, 17 to 18. Matthew 5, 17 to 18. Naomi, can you read it out for me?
Yes, I can. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So Jesus makes it very clear. He has not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And this isn't what people expected. Even the Pharisees didn't expect this. They had loads of strikes against his name. Can anyone name anything that the Pharisees were not very impressed with? Everything. Yes, he lists what includes in everything. We saw it in the video.
He healed someone on the Sabbath day.
Yes, exactly. What else?
The company he keeps.
The company he keeps. That's a big one.
The stuff.
So, these are just some of the things. He ate and sat with sinners. He didn't keep the law to the Pharisees' standards, including healing on the Sabbath. Naughty boy. He spent time with the ill and the unclean. He even touched the unclean. And, I mean, his choice of disciples. Come on. Right? And I'm sure there were many, many other things. Like Beth said, everything. Everything he did, the Pharisees did not like. But this is the thing. He didn't come to be people pleaser. He came to fulfill the law. And that wasn't what a lot of people expected. They expected a Messiah to come and overthrow Rome and to replace the old system. Now, at a glance, that may seem like a really disappointing message, like opening a chocolate bar and seeing cardboard, right? And unfortunately, a lot of people then, and even now, stop there. They stop at the cardboard and they don't go deeper. They don't go into a deeper relationship with Jesus. But just like opening the chocolate, finding cardboard, but digging a little deeper and finding, yes, I know, a Costa voucher, not a Starbucks one, I'm sorry, but something more valuable than the chocolate itself. It's the same thing, I mean, it's more than us digging deeper into Jesus' word and having that relationship with him. That is something so much greater than what the world can give us. Let's go again a little bit deeper. Matthew 5, 19 to 20. Naomi, can you read that for me?
Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.
Perfect. Thank you. Beautifully read, as always. So Jesus teaches us a very simple thing. God's commandments matter. right? They shouldn't be watered down and they definitely shouldn't be ignored. Those who live by God's words and encourage others to do the same, honour him. But those who dishonour him by not following his commandments and even encouraging other people to do the same, dishonour him. It is like, not the same, it is like, going back to Lego, me having a Kingfisher Lego set, okay? That is not the set, that is a fake set, just as an FYI. But having a Kingfisher set, a real one, with all the instructions that make sense, with all it all labelled and tell me what to do, and deciding to build a duck. Now, don't get me wrong, I love ducks. Ducks are great. But if I have a choice between a kingfisher and a duck, I'm going to choose a kingfisher. Okay? But not only do I decide to build a duck, but I notice that Esther has exactly the same set. And I encourage her to also build a duck. It makes no sense, does it? We both have exactly the same pieces, we both have exactly the same instructions, and yet we build a duck. In the same way, God has given us his word, his guide. And when we ignore it, when we ignore his design, we are creating our own Christianity and encouraging others to do the same. We are missing the point. So I'm going to ask us two questions. The first question is, what is it that we are accepting? What is it that we are accepting from God? That is between you and him, okay? What is it that you are expecting from God? The next question is, what does Jesus expect from us? It's a two-way street. What does Jesus expect from us? Jesus says our righteousness must surpass those of the Pharisees and the teachers. The leaders of the law looked righteous on the outside, but their hearts were far off from God. Jesus isn't asking us to perform better than they did. He is calling us to something deeper, a righteousness that comes from a genuine relationship with him. Which leads me to my second point, our second question. Are we following Jesus faithfully? Are we following Jesus faithfully? Now, at the beginning, I told you a little bit about me. Here is another little snippet about me as well. I used to play the flute, and I absolutely loved the idea of it. The one thing that got me every single time was the practice. I hated practicing my flute a little bit more than I hate stretching. And I know that breaks some people's hearts, but I do not do stretching. But this is the thing, I was in part of my life where I didn't realise the importance of practice. For those who play an instrument, I'm very jealous, especially if you can play more than one. But also those who play sports, you will also know that it's something that we need to do as well. Why? Why is practice so important? Shout some ideas at me. Why is practice so important?
Because you can improve.
Because you can improve? Yeah. What else?
Builds consistency.
Builds consistency. Like that one.
Builds strength in your limbs.
Builds strength. Brilliant. So I've got...
Builds a relationship.
Exactly. Builds relationship. Nice. With your teacher, your coach, those around you. So it's fair to say practice is important, right? So when we come to this point, it's not just for those who are preaching at the front of churches. It's for everyone who preaches Christ. Christ crucified, aka you and me. In what we do, in what we say, and here's the real kicker, in what we think. That one gets a lot of people. I know it definitely gets me. Let's have a look, and let's continue to Matthew 23. We're going to look at verse 1 to 4.
Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so practice and observe whatever they tell you. but not what they do. For they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Jesus wasn't afraid to challenge people, okay? Especially when it came to people in positions of influence. Now, he wasn't a cold caller, but he was calling people out, just as he calls us out to be different. The Pharisees and the teachers were respected leaders. They knew God's word, and they expected others to follow it. Yet, Jesus points out a massive problem. They were not practicing what they were preaching. They expected everybody else to carry the burden of obedience, and they made excuses for themselves. They knew the truth, but they didn't allow the truth to shape their lives. And in all honesty, we all do the same. Prime example, like I said, I like going to the gym. And in the gym world, there is a gym etiquette. It is not written down, but everyone knows, and if you don't know, you find out very quickly that that is a thing. And one of the things is personal space. In any other social situations, if someone got into your personal space, they would know about it very quickly, right? Whereas at the gym, for some reason, I don't know why, maybe it's lack of caffeine, lack of sleep, or whatever, personal space is not a thing. There will come points where you are on the machine and people will reach over, they will take weights off your machine, they will get in your way when you're doing lateral raises, so lots of arm movements or kickbacks, and then they will look at you in shock when you almost kick them, as if it's your fault. But anyway, I'm digressing. But in all of this, I know that we all have our qualms. I know whether it comes to driving, or shopping, or queuing, or whatever it may be. In this particular instance, I need to remember that those people, Jesus still loves. Even if I may mutter something underneath my breath that I probably shouldn't, Jesus still loves them, and that's okay. But I need to practice patience instead of frustration. And some days I get it right, and some days I don't. But I need to practice it, because otherwise, how can I stand up in front of the young people, in front of you guys, people that I'm in a position to serve, and say to be patient and love your neighbour when only yesterday I had a full blowout at a particular person at the gym? I can't do that, because that would make me a hypocrite, right? And that is what Jesus is talking about. That is what Jesus is warning us against. Now, I'm not saying that we have to be perfect, okay, to preach God's word, because if that was the case, God's word would not be preached. Amen? Amen. But we all make mistakes, but there is grace for that. But there is a difference between someone who is occasionally falling short and saying sorry than someone who is knowingly living differently and trying to teach others to live in a different way. This is hypocrisy that Jesus is challenging. And then Jesus continues in verses 5 to 15. He explains that the Pharisees were just failing to practice what they preached, but also they were doing many, many right things, but for all the wrong reasons. They liked to be noticed, they liked to be respected, and they liked to be honoured by others. Their focus shifted from serving God to serving themselves. Jesus completely turns this on its head. He says that the greatest of God's kingdom isn't found in status, it is found in humility and service. The kingdom of God isn't about making our name great, it's about making his known.
Yes.
The king who demands, but also provides righteousness for us too. That is the king that we have the privilege and the honour of serving. So my final point, are we glorifying Jesus fully? Are we glorifying Jesus fully? Now, I told you that I don't like practicing. When I was little, there was one thing in particular that I did practice and that I loved to practice, and I think my mum also loved the fact that I practiced this. I baked, and I loved to bake. I practiced different recipes. I was very good at making apple and cinnamon cake, also lemon drizzle cake. Those were my niches, those were my go-tos. But then something happened that I wasn't expecting to happen. I mean, loads of things happened that I didn't expect to happen. But one thing in particular was that my siblings began to bake too. Not only did they begin to bake too, they also were pretty good at it. Which actually hurt a wee bit, because as the oldest, they know everything from me, right? Just saying, if you're the oldest in your room, you know that that's the truth. Anyway, Jesus was the oldest. No, I'm joking. But looking back, I can see that actually that was me making it all about me. Instead of celebrating the fact that they could bake and that it meant that I could eat good cake. Liddy recently has learned how to make gluten-free cake, and it's actually pretty good as well because of me, bless her. But as Christians, we need to be careful not to fall in the same trap. We might fully practice what we preach, but if our goals are to make people look good, is to make people look at us rather than Jesus, we have missed the point completely. Again, that's exactly what Jesus was challenging us on in Matthew 23. He warns against seeking praise and status instead of living humbly and living, showing people who God is. So here's a question. If you guys don't know the answer to this, I've done it wrong. Who deserves glory?
God.
I'm going to try that again. Who deserves the glory?
God.
Jesus.
Well, a little bit more excitement. Who deserves glory?
Jesus.
There we go. He is the one who deserves the glory. The reason is that none of us can earn our own righteousness that God requires. None of us. Not Ron, not Mike, not me. None of us can earn our own righteousness. If we start to believe that, if we start to believe that our good works make us right with God, then we can easily become proud, like the Pharisees, like the teachers of the law. We can start trusting in ourselves instead of trusting in Christ. But there is good news, the gospel, right? Jesus provided the righteousness we could never achieve ourselves. Through his death on the cross, he took our sin upon himself and in return gave us his righteousness. This is called the Great Exchange. Then through his resurrection, he defeated sin and death, making it possible for everyone who trusts in him to be made right with God. That means that our relationship with God is not based on whether we perform well, how many good deeds we do, or how impressive we may seem. It is completely and utterly and entirely based on Jesus. That's why he deserves the glory. There is a beautiful verse that sums all of that up, 2 Corinthians 5:21, and it says, God made him, being Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I'll say that again. God made him, who had no sin, to be sin for us, for you and for me, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Everything that we have, our salvation, our righteousness, our hope, is a gift of God's grace. So our lives should never point other people to us. They should always point to Jesus, because he alone is worthy of glory. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So, to conclude, going back to Lego, we saw the difference between real Lego and fake Lego. Lego from a distance looks great, and then you start to build with it. And then you start to see the cracks start to show. And this is what Jesus warns about. This is what Jesus sees or warns us about, our faith and how it can actually turn out if we are not careful. We can look righteous on the outside, like the Pharisees. We can know all the right answers. We can attend church every week, serve a team, and even teach others. But if our hearts are far away from Jesus, then our righteousness is only ever a fake version of the real thing. So let us go back to the questions that we've looked at this morning. Are we seeking Jesus clearly? Jesus didn't come to lower God's expectations, to lower God's standards. He came to fulfill it and to invite us into a relationship with him. Are we following Jesus faithfully? Because the world is watching. Our lives should reflect the one who we follow. Not perfectly, but authentically, right? As people being transformed by his grace. And are we glorifying Jesus fully? He is the one who lived the life that we could never live and died a death that we deserve and rose again so that we could receive his righteousness. So, as we leave today, let's not settle for fake righteousness built on appearance and performance. Instead, let's receive the righteousness that Jesus, that only Jesus can give us, and allow him to keep transforming us day by day. Stop trying to build our own version of righteousness. Stop trying to pretend that we have everything together. Instead, let's trust the King who not only demands righteousness, but through the cross graciously provides it for us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.